Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com. John and Ken Show, John Cobelt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I feel like we're in the club there. That music is like, ooh. No? Don't you want to start moving back and forth? And
no, I'm bullish. We don't do that.
No, I can't recall if I've ever seen you dance, now that I think about it. Anywhere, any kind of... Well, remember, we hosted those club nights, but you didn't.
Right.
Right, okay, where else could it be? Do we ever go to a wedding or something together?
Well, my wedding.
Think? Yeah, but you were... I don't remember if you... I mean, obviously, you must have danced, because that's what you do, right?
Did just you? Just the slow ones.
We should go like, line dancing together.
At the beginning. Right.
No, something shouldn't be seen.
Yeah.
Some things shouldn't be experienced.
John has no rhythm.
No.
Line dancing is kind of easy, though. I think you would catch on.
I could screw it up.
Well, isn't that dancing, country
isn't
dancing?
That the country thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that either. It looks goofy.
It's fun.
You might as well do, what's that Irish one where they're on stage with the dancing? Remember, it was popular for a
river
while.
River dancing? But...
Yeah, the river dancing.
Well, I'm not doing that either.
How about disco dancing? You could put your arm up and down. You know, that's kind of easy.
The arm can go up and down, but I can't.
John Travolta.
I can't move anything below the arm.
I opened a Deborah Mark box. I'm really...
Come on, Ken. Let's do the hustle.
I never know what I'm going to step into, but I should have known. I didn't know she was a dancing person.
I'm not good.
With all that energy, how could she not be?
Were you a ballerina?
No, I don't have a lot of rhythm either. I can't even do a somersault.
Oh,
so you weren't a cheerleader?
Easy. No, I was not a cheerleader.
No cartwheels?
No, can't even do a cartwheel, no.
Oh, man.
Nope.
The one thing I kind of wish I could do whenever I see an athlete do it is a backflip. That just looks to do a backflip.
Hey, go ahead, try that.
It looks gravitationally impossible. To be able to actually flip backwards and land on your feet? No. No, thanks. Remember Ozzie Smith, John, right?
That's what happened to Ozzie there.
The All-Star and the Hall of Fame shortstop.
When do you decide not to do those anymore? Do you have to land on your head and then you say, okay, that's the last one?
You probably get a pretty good idea sometime here in your 40s or 50s that it ain't happening.
Right, but there's got to be one that says, all right, I'm not doing that again. Like you miss once or...
Well, we got some really cool news. They kind of broke over the weekend, and it's been building this way from other reports. Politico was probably best on the scene when it came to the end of the political career for now of Eric Garcetti, his chances to be ambassador to India dwindling. But hopping on the pile this weekend was the media outlet Axios and the term Team Schumer. Team Schumer. I love these political websites. This is a
They're New York sports websites.
I know. Team Schumer. Right. Well, Team Schumer is privately acknowledging to Senate Democrats that Garcetti doesn't have 50 votes and he may never get 50 votes. We're now up to five Democratic senators who are saying probably, well, I'm not voting for him right now. Right.
You know something? He's dead and everybody knows it. And they're trying to politely tell him to pack up and go home.
That's right.
And concede, resign, withdraw. Right.
That's right.
Give it up. Hit the road.
I think so. These stories are being put out, particularly since this was, you know where they got this information? It was an LD call. What's an LD call? A legislative director call. This is inside geek stuff. But well, supposedly during the call, the LDs were talking about the nomination. It came up. Somebody asked. And the response was, it's not looking good.
Well, the way the Senate works, the majority leader, and that is Chuck Schumer. He sets the agenda. So all the other senators need to know, what are we voting on?
That's right.
Yeah. How
because
have
if we don't, we could be outcast.
How have things progressed on various bills and issues?
Right.
So Schumer's legislative director tells all the other senators' legislative directors, here's what's happening this week.
Right.
And on the list was Garcetti. And next to Garcetti, it said, not happening.
Question mark. Well, maybe even worse. You're right. And
no,
not happening.
The way they communicate, we talked about this last week, the way they communicate in Washington, they do it through leaks to reporters, and there are certain phrases that are used to send the message. And anybody on the receiving end of the message who has spent their career in politics knows what it means. Nobody ever does anything embarrassing by saying he doesn't have a chance in hell.
And nobody does anything face-to-face and tells the honest truth to somebody.
No.
It's like, just send it through the back channels.
If it has to get to that point, you're really dense. I mean, if somebody's actually got to call up Garcetti and said, Eric, will you withdraw already? Would you quit the chase?
I think they might have to.
He went
to D.C. Supposedly, he's sending some sort of representatives to walk the hallways.
Well, sure. And that's a sign of desperation.
No.
When you passed out of the committee unanimously, and you're sending your representatives to go and lobby, what does that tell you? A lot of people have changed their minds, that they've seen these affidavits, these legal briefings, and they know he lied and he fooled everybody because he's a pathological liar, and that's what he's done all his life. That's how he got to be mayor. He fools a lot of people. He's really good at lying. He is like really in the Hall of Fame for lying, as from what I've seen in life.
And I'm expecting any day now that some of these longtime aides are going to start jumping ship because there's no future with this political boat called Garcetti. I mean, you really got to hand it to this woman, the former communications director, Naomi Seligman. She's the one that really got the ball rolling with the harpooning the nomination because she made a big deal out of this. She hired this whistleblower organization to take the complaint to Washington, to the Senate. I remember you and I were saying on the air a couple of months ago, I think we gave out the Senate phone number or something. We wanted people just to complain about Garcetti. But she really made this happen. And now they apparently, another Garcetti staffer sent a letter questioning Seligman's account. And of course, she's the one that said it's pretty clear from many of us that Garcetti either witnessed, but was certainly aware of the sex harassment by this Rick Jacobs.
That was another emergency situation. Sending out this other aide to say that, oh, I've never seen any of this.
That's right.
You can actually decode the back and forth going on here. Garcetti's not accepting this. He's resisting. He's floundering around. Everybody in the Senate is saying, it's over, buddy.
Well, he has no plan B.
No, he doesn't, because
he doesn't have a plan B. He's going to be like Tony Villar, who was trying to raise money as he left office
looking
to scrounge around and get a place to live. He didn't have a house or anything. He didn't have a place to live. Remember that?
Ambassador to India was probably plan D. I mean, his plan A was president.
Well, I meant the current plan B.
He would have taken vice president. Then he would have taken Secretary of Transportation or any other cabinet position. And then it became ambassador to India. And now he doesn't even have that.
No.
But here's the thing. This is why, because a lot of times somebody files a complaint and it's overlooked, right? But here's what Naomi Seligman had going for her. She put her name out there. This wasn't anonymous. She put it in writing, 30 pages of writing. She hired a legal organization who sent it out to every possible interested party. You know, district attorneys, the attorney general, everybody in the Senate, everybody in official Washington and Sacramento and L.A. got a copy of this complaint. So everybody on the inside knows about this, read it to some extent. She's a woman. She's also a victim of Rick Jacobs. You see how it stacks up in terms of credibility? It's not some anonymous source and everybody goes, well, who is it? No, no. It's an actual person. And she was way high up in the Garcetti circle. She was some kind of communications director.
That was her position.
Yeah.
She was the former communications director.
Okay. Communications director, that's inner
some
circle.
People said, well, she was only here a couple of years. They don't know about her stories.
Only? I mean, a couple of years is a long time.
It can be in politics.
Yeah.
But I think he's had some hangers-on for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in politics over 20 years L.A. Council.
Communications director means you're in charge of all the messaging that goes to the outside world. So you're in on every meeting because you've got to get all the messages just right. Because you got to be able to withstand questioning, withstand criticism, blah, blah, blah. So she's in there every single meeting talking not only with Garcetti, but people like Rick Jacobs and all the other idiots that surround him. So she carries a tremendous amount of credibility, and there's nobody in the Senate, especially all these Democrats who've been banging the Me Too drum for 5 years. They can't ignore her. How could you ignore a woman who's a victim, who is in the inner circle, and she's got a 30-page story? That's impossible.
So the other geeky term in the Axios story is apparently Chuck Schumer's office will not formally whip the vote, which means ask senators how they plan to vote. They're not even planning to do that. It's kind of a message, too, to the Biden White House that maybe you ought to start looking around for somebody else.
It is. I mean, that's the real audience here because it's going to be somebody from Biden's staff, I think, that has to make the call to Garcetti.
Because after all, India is the world's largest democracy, in case you didn't know.
Oh, and they
got much more people than us.
They're futzing around on the sanctions here. They're not. They didn't join.
That's right. They're winking at Putin.
They did not join the good guys against Biden.
They did not. They're trying to remain neutral.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. The Indians sent a big FU to the Ukrainians on this one.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll get coverage from Sacramento after 3 o'clock on that mass shooting that occurred early this Sunday morning. 6 people dead, 12 injured, and they have arrested at least one person so far. And, of course, the response is predictable. We need more gun control. California has pretty much the most restrictive gun control laws in the entire country of any of the states.
No, throw the bad guys in prison and keep them there. How about
exactly
that?
Exactly.
I will bet $1, maybe $2, that when they run a rap sheet check on the shooters, we're going to find out they spent time in jail before. I'm just going to go out on a limb there. This wasn't their first shooting.
Now, reports they were looking for multiple gunmen, but there's so far one arrest. We'll see what else we can find.
I mean, it sounds like a gang, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like it's 2 a.m., so yeah, it's one of those disputes. That
2 a.m.
Somebody whipped out their gun.
On a street with bars and clubs.
Yeah.
You know John Kupal, right? Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association? He posted something today that the shooting took place one block from his office.
Yeah.
One block down, one block over.
Well, he's probably not in his office at 2 a.m. very often, so.
No.
That's the thing.
No, but
that's
a very political area there. There's a lot of.
I heard it was not far from the Capitol.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not far from the Capitol, not far from all the lobbyist buildings and government buildings.
Right.
And you go right from one hell to the next.
Coming up after 2:30, you can tell that the El Segundo Times is taking the candidacy of Rick Caruso very seriously. A barrage of articles over the weekend. Including one with the headline, I refuse to read it. I don't even know who it was. Maybe it was Steve Lopez. It's not like running the Grove. It's not like running the Grove to be mayor.
I know. That's
I refuse to read it. I don't need that kind of propaganda.
I read it for you.
Was it Steve Lopez?
It was Steve Lopez. Yeah,
of course it was. That's his kind of headline.
I know. It's
I know he doesn't write the headlines, but it sounded like him.
Yeah, but no, that was the column. That was he writes like an 8-year-old.
And it's very all childish. They love longtime hacks. They really believe in government and politics. You know, they like guys like Garcetti that have been on city councils and they've come up.
The thing is, Garcetti is a total failure, and so is the city council. Absolute total failure.
You can't do any worse.
You can't do any worse.
What's the point?
So what?
I'll take the guy running the hot dog stand.
Yeah, that's
let alone the Grove analogy.
What would you want anybody in L.A. now who has L.A. political experience? Would you want anybody?
No, because they're all taking us down the drain.
Yeah.
Maybe Sheriff V. Maybe.
Sheriff V, yeah. That's about it.
I don't know. He's a bit of a wild card. Kind of like having Trump as mayor.
Yeah, I know. Well, it'd be effective, though.
Yeah. Other big story over the weekend, although we didn't spend a lot of time on this, we did tell you to, it's a California law requiring diversity on corporate boards of directors. We have a judge from L.A. County Superior Court named Terry Green who said the law violates the state constitution. I mean, on its face, you can't do this. It requires publicly traded companies based in California to have board members from underrepresented communities, including people of several races and ethnic groups, and people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Newsom signed the bill back in 2020, declared it a big victory for racial justice and empowerment.
If you're on a board of a corporation, what would it matter who you sleep with, who you have sex with at night? Why would that have any bearing on what you bring to the board?
Because identity politics, at least according to this crowd that's behind this law, thinks that's a different perspective in life.
What, because you have sex with a man instead of a woman, or a woman instead of a man? I totally am flabbergasted by it. It makes zero sense. There's no relation whatsoever.
You believe that
a tech company, right? Let's say you're Intel and you're making computer chips. Board members are supposed to bring relevant business experience with them to the board as they wrestle with the future of the company, challenges the company faces, progression of executives. You have to be in that line of work or in related lines of work, or at least have some corporate experience, so you're like an outside pair of eyes, maybe outside the industry, but you still have to be on that level. I have no idea. It's like, I sleep with a guy. Oh, I sleep with a woman. It's like, please, just, we don't, not at the meeting. Nobody talk about their sex life at the meeting. Please.
Well, this may be hard to believe for many of our listeners, but the crowd that's behind identity politics believes that your sexual orientation or your gender or your race means that you can be completely different from the other person who's not the same as yours.
They made that up.
They have a whole different life perspective, viewpoint.
Maybe they do in some ways.
But all it does is set people against each other.
It's nothing relevant to business. Absolutely nothing relevant to business. Business is business. You got a product you're selling, a service you're selling. You have a corporate structure. You got stock, your stock price, blah, blah, blah. Okay? You got to figure out how to make a profit, manage an unwieldy force of employees. Last 2 years have been all kinds of crazy obstacles for most companies. What your sexual orientation, what would that possibly matter? The color of your skin, your ethnicity, why would that possibly? It doesn't. They just repeat it over and over and try to make you feel guilty if you question it. All that matters is your intelligence, your experience, and how you apply whatever talents you have. And you should have talents that are relevant to that company's business. Period. And that's the way it worked for hundreds of years, and it worked great.
So the judge who made this decision, by the way, it was Judicial Watch that brought the lawsuit, didn't really say much. But, of course, the claim in the lawsuit is that this is a discrimination. It's quotas. Kind of simple on its face. In fact, they have a 2018 law that you have to have women on, at least one woman on your board. That may be challenged next because it's the same kind of thing.
Well, same thing. Why would pardon the crudity, what would your genitals have to do with your intellectual ability to advise and run a company? For years, everybody said, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man.
We want a woman's perspective on the board so we know how to deal with issues.
what is a woman's perspective if you're selling computer chips? She has to have a business perspective.
Women may use computers differently. They may have different attitudes about computers and technology. And
but they're selling chips.
Well, I know you're citing one.
Well, this is an example because I could come up with a lot of examples. Most of the time, companies are just selling stuff, hardware. And you want to keep track of your customer base. But that knowledge is usually you have farther down the chain. You have people who understand marketing, people who have done testing of the products. They know that women buy most of this product. They know that women are the decision makers for this kind of purchasing. But board members, you got to keep the structure of the company running. And that, you know what? There's plenty of women who could serve on a board. There's plenty of everybody who could serve on a board. It just absolutely shouldn't matter, let alone create quota spaces. Because for years, everybody said, well, it shouldn't just be white guys. It's like, yeah, right. So if we're all the same, then we're all the same. Then why are you acting like there's special knowledge among these different categories? There isn't. You either know the business or you don't. Either have experience or you don't, period.
Judicial Watch has already brought another lawsuit over the gender representation argument, and some legal experts I'm looking at say they'll probably have to throw that one out because the courts, don't like quotas. It doesn't say whether or not the state's appealing this decision. I would expect they would. They were so proud of this.
Well, they could. They'll lose. It's unconstitutional. You can't do that. Just reverse the race, reverse the gender, reverse the sexuality. Imagine you said it about the other side. Everybody would say, oh my God, that's wrong. That's unconstitutional. It's illegal. Yeah, exactly. Right? You couldn't mandate that there's 12 white guys on the board, right? You couldn't mandate that and exclude everybody else. Why? Breaks the law, violates the Constitution. Same, goes both ways. That's a great test in life.
All right, upon our return, El Segundo Times headline, Rick Caruso said, no one feels safe in Los Angeles. Here's what residents say. And I laughed when I read this. I said, oh, I see. So you interview a couple of dozen people and you've determined whether or not Rick Caruso's statement is right or wrong. That's how it works? Nonsense.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
Well, in their never-ending daily effort to make us not know what's really going on and not understand things the way they really are, the El Segundo Times assigned four writers, to write a story about Rick Caruso and his comments on crime and how people feel unsafe. Jung Park, Alejandra Reyes Velarde, Julia Wick, and one of our all-time favorites, Benjamin Oreskes, got together to write a long story because during the debate, Rick Caruso, candidate for mayor, said a lot of people do not feel safe in this city. The statement was not accurate, not by a long shot. It was one of the first paragraphs in the accompanying story because they claim Caruso said we're in one of the worst crime rates in the city's history. I don't remember him saying that, but maybe he did. But anyway, that's not the point because, again, they're dragging out 1993 statistics to prove him wrong.
No, and in the story, Caruso properly says that comparison is ridiculous. We're talking almost 30 years, a generation.
Right. A lot of people were not here then.
Well,
we're here now experiencing life.
Yes. And by the way, if you're 40 years old, you don't have a conscious memory of it being worse than it is now. That's a pretty hefty share.
And
by the way, the numbers are bad on their own. Even if it was worse 30 years ago, these are bad numbers. Are we supposed to wait till it gets to a 1992 level? No, nobody sane would do that. They'd say, okay, this has gotten far enough. We got to stop it now.
And again, I point out over and over, and you don't ever see it in articles like this, we had a period not that long ago where it seemed every few months the LAPD chief and the mayor, usually Garcetti, would walk out and hold a press conference bragging about the historic low crime rates. Well, that was a result of a lot of changes to laws after the terrible period we had in the 1980s through the 1990s. That was us being able to benefit from that, but that's never mentioned. And now we've watched the laws in the last 10 years reverse. How many times have we told you about AB 109, the prisoner dumping bill? Then you have Propositions 47 and 57. Then you have prosecutors like George Gascon and Chesa Boudin taking over cities like San Francisco and L.A.
No bail.
And then what happens is this takes time. And it starts, you start to see the effects. And you're right, if we don't make change, in 5 years, these will be the 1990s numbers. Maybe even less than that.
And so this is the last day we're going to debate the 1990s numbers. The LA Times could carry on all it wishes. It's stupid. It's absurd. And if they're not smart enough to know that, then obviously they're just peddling propaganda.
Well,
they don't want people in jail because they think it's disproportionately minority. That is the central issue for them. You can't put people in jail. It's disproportionate minority people get thrown in.
And that's the idea of criminal justice reform.
And right? So instead of looking at if
it comes down too hard on one race over another.
But like everything else,
we have to pretend the crime didn't happen because we don't want to put people in prison.
All that matters is did they do the crime? Was it proven? That's the end of the discussion. Did they do it and was it proven? I don't know how you have any other criteria.
What they did for this story is these reporters fanned out into L.A. neighborhoods. Oh, John, look at that. Brentwood, Baldwin Hills, San Pedro, Beverly Grove, Eagle Rock. They talked to people, and I love the way they put it. But what they found was a nuanced picture emerged that ran counter to Caruso's rhetoric. And actually, when you read all the people's quotes, it is a mixture. You want to call that nuanced. Some of them don't feel that safe. Some of them look like they have to look over their shoulders. Others think, oh, it's just the media. It's exaggeration. It's a few high-profile killings. And I don't feel unsafe in my neighborhood. But it really is a mixed picture.
Well, it always is, though. You can do that on any issue.
You know, yeah, because if you interview 12 people, you're probably going to get 9 or 10 different opinions.
You know what's funny? Is the one issue that has almost unanimous agreement is homelessness. And the LA Times is constantly trying to sell everyone, oh, it's not that bad.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they're trying to sell us that. They're trying to sell us that we just need more housing. They ignore the fact that we have mental illness and alcoholism and all sorts of problems on the street. Just build more housing, right? And we can't do that. We don't have the space or the money to build these people. Permanent housing.
Yeah, well, generally when people complain about a homeless development in their neighborhood, the LA Times says, well, this is NIMBYism. Like you're not supposed to be concerned about something like this.
Yeah.
You're supposed to absorb it as part of the existence of living in a city.
So you're right. Caruso's quotes are in here. He'd said, that's right, comparing crime levels to the 1990s is a ridiculous basis to judge safety. Crime and safety is a very personal feeling. It's how somebody takes and assimilates information. And he's right. And we are going through a period now where people do feel less safe. All right. So the Times is arguing with the crime rates. Don't back that up. But you know what? Compared to 5-10 years ago, an uptick in crime is going to be noticed by people.
The crime is up a lot in the last few years. It's up big percentages. Nobody remembers what 1993 was like. It is totally irrelevant. What happens is we had a certain kind of life here in 2014 in Los Angeles, and then Prop 47 hit, and then the homeless started piling up on the streets. And then they started, 47 took effect, and people weren't being put in jail anymore. And Prop 57 means people are going to get let out of jail. And then they got rid of bail. And like you said before, one thing piled up on top of another, and over time, there's been more and more and more increases in crime simply because the bad guys are allowed to run free. Whereas maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they were locked up. They've let out tens of thousands of prisoners from the state prison system. I think it's something like 60,000 prisoners have been let out. What do you think those people are doing? Would they open accounting firms?
They found one man who lives in Pico Robertson, Tehran, Burgundy. The whole crime thing for me is just a normal politician move. Show me something different.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, he thinks it's, and again, you see it in this article, if you read between the lines, that people who run for office often, it's the politics of fear. politicians always like to use something to drive you to the vote for them, and that is to make you feel afraid.
How come nobody ran on this 10 years ago or 15 or 20 years ago?
That's correct, because the crime rates were low.
You know what's
funny? There was an amazing turnaround in the mid-2000s.
Here's how it works with people who lie in the media. In 1993, 94, when the Three Strikes movement passed, LA Times was totally against it. And the crime was at record levels, but it didn't matter. You can't start putting people in prison. And they would dredge up one oddball case, like a guy who stole a slice of pizza for his third strike and got put away. Remember?
Yeah, the cookie thief.
And the cookie thief. It was
the guy that broke in and stole a piece of cookie.
Then it became distorting it. It's like, oh, we're only putting pizza thieves away for decades, which was false, but that's what the LA Times was selling.
But let's not forget what the real fight was back then. It wasn't just sending people to prison. It was making sure they stayed there longer. That's what Three Strikes was about. These were the worst of the worst guys, and they were getting released too quickly. That's why we're cycling back in. Prop 57 wants to release tens of thousands of inmates before their time is due, because we don't like them in prison.
We're
headed right back to the same problem we had before Three Strikes.
Well, how the cycle works is, first they deny that the terrible crime rates are worthy of something like Three Strikes. Then the crime rates go way down because of Three Strikes. And then they say, well, the crime rates are way down. There's no need for Three Strikes anymore. So they get rid of those kinds of laws. And then it starts going way up again. And then they say, well, it's not as bad as 93. Well, in 93, you never wanted the harsh laws, which drove the rates down. You know, they're always on the wrong side. And the side is always don't put people away. And that's the only thing you can do is put them away. There is no other option. Don't you think by now they've tried it? In the last 50 years, don't you think they've tried every other option other than simply locking them up? Of course they've had. They've tried education, and they've tried early intervention, and they've tried rehab, and they've tried this and that, and it's all failed.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll go to Sacramento after 3 o'clock for a report on the mass shooting that occurred early Sunday morning. It was like 2 a.m. late Saturday night, and 6 people dead, 12 wounded. They have made an arrest. That was just announced a couple of hours ago. A 26-year-old man has been arrested. Are there other gunmen? What happened? And, of course, the usual fallout from a shooting story like this. California with some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. Apparently, that's not enough for the crowd that thinks it's all about the guns.
Not
about the people that shoot the guns.
All these policies don't work. And they keep asking for more of these same policies.
Well, that's right. So if they continue to go down the path of nobody goes to prison because it's disproportionate by race or whatever, there's just going to be more shootings. You're keeping dangerous people out there.
You're
going to make these decisions arbitrarily based on quotas.
And anybody with a brain in their head knows that's going to happen. If you keep criminals in prison, they can't hurt you. If you keep them outside, they will hurt you.
That was the common sense after Three Strikes that prevailed. And that, by the way, wasn't the only tougher prison sentencing law that passed in the 90s, but that's the one that gets the most attention, and that certainly was a big factor for what we saw the next 10 or 15 years. And now we're watching ourselves. I remember saying that on the air back in the 90s on this show, that this thing cycle, and I know we're going to cycle back someday.
And they use the excuse, well, the rates are really low now. Yes, because we had the tough laws. That's how you get low rates. It's the only way you get low rates. You tried it your way. What happened? That's what's great about this period. As awful as it is, these progressives had their way. We've done it 100% the way they wanted it, and it's one failure after another, one disaster after another. We can now say for sure that this progressive way does not work. Complete failure. And anybody who sticks up for this is just an idiot, a pandering, propaganding idiot.
All right. I love these stories. Whenever we run into them, it's been a while, and I think I really did it one time before. But now we go to Europe. Apparently, there is a German man who had himself vaccinated against COVID-19 perhaps as many as 90 times so he could sell the vaccine cards to make money. 60 years old, which is not young to be taking a lot of vaccines. He comes from the eastern German city of Magdeburg. Name not released because Germany has privacy rules, but he is said to have received up to 90 shots against COVID-19 at vaccination centers in the eastern state of Saxony for months until police finally caught up with him. And I was thinking, what kind of shape is he in? He was caught at a vaccination center where he showed up for a COVID-19 shot for the second day in a row. So I guess somebody recognized him, or...
Well...
Police confiscated several blank vaccination cards from him and started criminal proceedings. So what he does is he gets the shot, he gets the vaccination card, but I guess they give it to you blank? I thought they make you fill it out with your name. I don't know what they do in Germany, but when I had mine, it was already filled out with my name and stuff, so I couldn't pass it on to another person with my same name because it wouldn't work for their ID. It wasn't immediately clear what impact the COVID-19 vaccines have on him. They were different brands. But clearly, if he was still walking in and getting a shot a couple of days ago, and it could have been his 90th, he's worse for the wear.
You end up with a lot of antibodies. I don't know. What would antibodies do to you? And okay. I mean, and eventually it fades away.
Isn't that a problem if antibodies, your system, your immune system can be overwhelmed if they overreact? Isn't that been a...
Well, I don't know. That's why, unless we find out what happened to this guy.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, and I thought this story would come out, and apparently today's the day, a growing number of experts are saying the fourth dose, not needed. In fact, they're saying that the FDA bypassed its own advisors and just said yes to Americans 50 and over getting a damn fourth shot. While cases continue to shrink, there really seems to be no need for this. And it makes you believe that, and I hate to go down this conspiracy rabbit hole, but I don't know, the pharmaceuticals and the politicians and the government agencies, how close are they that they're pushing this
that is a real thing. I mean, after I watched that miniseries on Hulu about the OxyContin.
Dope Sick.
Dope Sick, yeah. And you saw that one of the head guys at the FDA went to work for the Sackler family, for Purdue Pharmaceuticals, after he gave he put bad advice on the label, right, saying that taking these opioids is not addictive. You know, he basically lied in the instructions on how to take it. That you're not going to get addicted is basically what it said. And then it turned out everybody got addicted. And then he jumped ship, left the FDA, and joined Purdue Pharmaceuticals and was getting paid $400,000 a year. And since then, Purdue has killed hundreds of thousands of people and have had to pay billions and billions of dollars in settlements and fines. So, I think Pfizer, you know, they made a lot of money last year. Of course they want to keep the ball rolling. They got stock price. They got stockholders.
And yet, did I see another headline today that there's still a lot of people in the world who haven't even gotten their first vaccine shot? Well, take it to them then. Why not?
And what is the problem?
Donate it, Pfizer.
I don't understand. Wouldn't an airplane take care of a lot of that problem?
I don't understand I don't know what the barrier is. I remember we did a story like 2 weeks ago that there were a huge stockpile of shots that were running out. They're running up against their expiration date. But get them to a part of the world where they don't have any vaccines and people want the shots.
I mean, there's no excuse for this other than I imagine you have the same corrupt, incompetent government and governments who don't care about their own people.
Doesn't Biden have a vaccine czar that can handle this? Or
I think Kamala Harris is in charge of it.
One of the experts I'm reading in the story says, really, people over 50, I could see maybe some people over 65. You have a lot of underlying health conditions. Maybe you want to get the fourth dose, but really over 50? That seemed to be another exaggeration.
The typical person who died was 80 years old and they had four comorbidities. Four.
Yeah.
80. That was your typical victim. So basically it was the nursing home crowd. And every single person who died who was in a nursing home would have been dead now anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, but you're not going to see that news story on TV. you're not going to see that article in the paper. What was the excess deaths? How many of these people were going to live more than a few months anyway? Because I remember in the early months, more than half the deaths were in the nursing homes. Because we had government policies that intentionally spread the virus through the nursing homes. Barbara Furr had one of those policies. I mean, Andrew Cuomo got a lot of crap for it. I don't know why Barbara Ferrer didn't. She had the same deadly policy.
All right. When we return, we'll take a closer look at this story out of Sacramento from the weekend. There was a mass shooting 2 a.m. yesterday, Sunday morning. 6 people killed, 12 other people hit by gunfire. It broke out following some sort of a large fight in downtown Sacramento. We'll get a report from Sacramento next.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark has the news, KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.